For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello again, Hoop Bowl Lakers family. Welcome to another solo edition of the podcast. I'm your host, JC DeLeon. You can follow me on Twitter at JCDeLeon1. Find me on Instagram on there as well. Ethan and I will be back for a solo or collaboration pod at some point here in the near future, but I am here to talk about the game one of the NBA playoffs, Phoenix Suns versus the Los Angeles Lakers. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the other game ones as well. So the playoffs are finally here, and it doesn't quite feel like playoff time. Maybe because of the off calendar, we're all a little off of our usual routines due to COVID in the past year. Things are just now starting to get back to normal everywhere you go. Game one, Phoenix versus Los Angeles, had a near full crowd, and it was great just to hear all those people cheering on moments, booing the Lakers. As much as we may not have liked that, I think it was fun to see a full crowd. Saturday Night Live had their first, fully vaccinated crowd, but it was a full crowd. You start to see more and more of that. There are a lot of games in the playoffs that I witnessed this weekend that had full or nearly full crowds, with a lot of them still wearing masks, which is a good thing. And yeah, I just really enjoyed seeing that. I enjoyed hearing all the fans. But despite all of that, yeah, the beginning of the playoffs never quite feels like the playoffs to me. I don't know why. And maybe that's a little bit of an excuse as to why the Lakers played the way they did. Spoiler alert, they lost the first game. But they lost the first game just like they lost the first game in the bubble last year versus the Portland Trailblazers. And so it's definitely not the end of the world. Seeing the Lakers lose a game one, seeing LeBron James lose a game one in the playoffs, I've seen it happen a lot. He seems to, really gather a lot of information from the early games, and then, that's when he sort of makes his move, and he's starting to show his age just a little bit. He's still playing really great, but obviously there are going to be times where he's going to be showing his age, and the Lakers have to find a way around that. But I digress. Back to game one. So there's good news and there's bad news, just like there is in most things in life. The good news we've already talked about a little bit. A loss in game one isn't the end of the world. The Lakers lost game one of the playoffs last year and ended up going on to win the championship. This feels like a little bit of a mirror of that situation. The Lakers are tired. They played that extra game. The bubble last year was a really weird scenario, which people had trouble adjusting to. This year, the Lakers had that play-in game. It was an extra game, an extra really hard-fought game that I'm sure took a lot out of them. So to lose game one wasn't a total surprise. And so that's good news. Phoenix Suns are really good. Chris Paul has really turned his team into an elite performing team. He's given Devin Booker a lot of confidence. DeAndre Ayton is playing much better than he did his rookie year. People probably thought he would develop a little bit faster. He had a good rookie year, but he didn't have a great one. And he seems to be sort of growing into that lottery pick and those expectations that he had when he was drafted. But let's look at the bad news. Bad news. Where did things go wrong? Well, to take a look at the box score. First off, one of the questions that Ethan and I have been wondering, you know, what was the Lakers rotation going to be? Was it going to be an 11-man rotation? Are they going to somehow find a way to make it a 12-man rotation while the playoffs? You sort of shorten your rotations. And most teams run a solid 8-to-9-man rotation. Now, the Lakers are very deep. And I think there's going to be times where players will rotate in and out. But I think the times in which they're going to play more than 10 players is going to be pretty rare. And so on this night, game one, they played 9 players. They played 10 players, excuse me. With pretty much 9 of them being the main rotation. You have your usual starting lineup of Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Andre Drummond, Dennis Schroeder, and KCP. First man off the bench. Don't remember if it was Montrez or Kyle. But the most minutes off the bench was Alex Caruso, to no surprise. And he played really well. 24 minutes, shot 4-for-9, made a couple of threes, which is always great. Then you got 19 minutes out of Kyle Kuzma, 15 out of Montrezl Harrell, 12 out of Wesley Matthews, and with 7 minutes off the bench, mostly in kind of garbage time, even though the game was relatively close, you had Talen Horton-Tucker, which was kind of the rotation that I thought we would see. The main rotation being off the bench, Kuzma, Montrez, and Caruso. That's not a surprise. The other two, I think, are going to rotate in and out between Wesley Matthews, Talen Horton-Tucker. We should definitely see more Markieff Morris in this matchup versus Phoenix. And I don't know if Ben McLemore's shooting, you know, opens up a spot for him in this series either. But one thing's for certain, as much as I was in favor of it, as excited as I was by it, the Andre Drummond signing hasn't really come to fruition yet. And there's a couple of reasons for that. It's possible that he just hasn't had enough time with AD and LeBron. There are a lot of times where Anthony Davis and Andre Drummond actually play pretty well together. One instance on this game one in particular, you know, Anthony Davis had a, you know, drove the lane, went up for a shot at the last second, you know, made a last second pass to Andre Drummond, who sealed it for a dunk. Those things happen on fairly frequent occasions. Anthony Davis and Andre Drummond together have played pretty well. I don't feel like LeBron has gotten a sense of how to play with Andre Drummond yet. And Schroeder, I think, tries to. But, you know, I think Schroeder sort of thinks of Andre Drummond as a bigger Montrezl Harrell because he seems to play really well with Montrezl Harrell. Schroeder tries to make the same kind of passes that he makes to Montrez to Andre Drummond, and Andre Drummond just can't really handle them. He's a little bit of a turnover machine in the post, even though tonight he only had 2 turnovers. But looking over the rest of the box score, LeBron James had, you know, an okay night. He shot 6-for-13, which is not great. He played 36 minutes, which is about what you want to see out of him. He got 10 assists, finished with 18 points, 5 turnovers, which is kind of a lot, 3 steals, no blocks, 10 assists. Pretty decent night for LeBron. Not a stellar night, not a night that's going to win you a game, obviously, because they lost. Schroeder had a pretty decent night, shot 5-for-7, was aggressive at times, made a 3, got a couple assists, got a couple steals, few too many turnovers. For this being a relatively tight game, every starter was a negative in the plus minus, with the exception of LeBron. So, despite LeBron not blowing you away with great numbers, I feel like he's playing fairly efficiently, and I feel like he's playing good, thorough basketball. Not so much the case tonight with Anthony Davis, who Anthony Davis himself admitted that, you know, if he's going to play this way, the Lakers aren't going to win a game, much less a series. And they're right. And he's right. Anthony Davis shot 5 for 16, missed both of his three-point attempts, only put up 5 free throws, grabbed 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, which is good. Finished with only 13 points. Biggest thing being that people were upset that DeAndre Ayton basically outplayed Anthony Davis. Even though Andre Drummond was out there, it was mostly Ayton guarding Anthony Davis. Now DeAndre Ayton finished with 21 points, 16 rebounds, 8 and 8 defensive and offensive, 8 offensive rebounds. With Andre Drummond out there, Andre Drummond and Anthony Davis, Andre Drummond finished with 9 rebounds, only 2 of which were defensive rebounds. Andre Drummond had a lot of offensive rebounds. So between Drummond and Ayton, they each get a lot of offensive rebounds, but Ayton just got way more defensive rebounds than Andre Drummond did. Andre Drummond only finished with 2 defensive rebounds, 9 total. You like the 7 offensive rebounds, but then you think about that a lot of those offensive rebounds were him rebounding his own misses, and so that sort of mitigates his productivity. Need a little bit more to KCP, but KCP is kind of always going to be icing on the cake. You don't really know what you're going to expect out of him. He did put up 7 three-pointers, only make 1 of them. And so the way he's played this season, the way the Lakers need him to play, if he's going to put up 7 three-pointers, it'd be really great if he could hit 3 of them, at least. And so, you know, if he'd have shot 2 for 7, Lakers lost 90-99. That could have been 96-99. And then, you know, you look at where you can pick up 3 extra points from there. So, you know, that's one of the things. Another big misstep tonight. You know, to look at it, assuming KCP had ended up shooting 3 for 7, would have put the Lakers within 3. Well, what else went wrong? Kyle Kuzma is what went wrong. 19 minutes for Kyle Kuzma. 0 for 2 field goals. 0 for 1 3-point. Didn't take any free throws, which means, yep, didn't score a single point the entire night. That cannot happen for Kyle Kuzma. He had a couple of good defensive moments, but for the most part, for his 19 minutes on the floor, he's just the invisible man. 3 rebounds, 1 assist, his only contributions on the night. And Montrezl Harrell is a guy we could see more of. 15 minutes for him, 4 for 5, grabbed 3 rebounds, 2 steals. He's just a man on defense. I feel like he can play against this Phoenix team, and I feel like he needs more minutes. Wesley Matthews, similar to Kyle Kuzma, played 12 minutes, only made 1 shot, wasn't much of an impact offensively, didn't get a single stat defensively, no rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks, but no turnovers, so that's good. Finally, we finished with Talen Horton-Tucker, who got 7 minutes, only scored 2 points. I think the minutes for him are going to come in spurts similar to that, and he's got to find a way to be impactful in a short amount of minutes if he's gonna play that way. And on the Phoenix side, yeah, Devin Booker went off. 34 points for him, shot 13 for 26, 3 for 7 from 3, what we would have liked to have seen out of KCP. Other than that, for the most part, we talked about DeAndre. Chris Paul played 36 minutes. Chris Paul didn't do a lot, but he was also impacted by a shoulder injury in the second quarter. Didn't look like he was going to come back. Looked like he might have separated that shoulder or possibly broken his collarbone, and thankfully that didn't happen. But here's the part where I play my little game of what's going to happen next, or what's likely to happen next. To look at the box score for the Lakers, you think about what's probably not going to happen again that would benefit this team. Well, I feel like Anthony Davis is going to shoot much better than 5 for 16. Finish with 13 points. Figure he's got to go for 24 plus next game. If he shoots 16 shots, maybe this time he'll make 9 of them. Kyle Kuzma, probably not going to go scoreless in the next game. And LeBron too. You know, you figure you might get more points out of LeBron. If you can get this kind of consistent production out of Dennis Schroeder, 14 points, 7 field goals, that's sort of where you want Schroeder to be. And same with Montrezl Harrell. You kind of want that consistent productivity that you got out of Schroeder, Harrell, Caruso. You'd maybe like a little bit more accuracy from KCP. Andre Drummond is the enigma. Anthony Davis needs to come to the conclusion that despite his aversion to being a center, much like last year, this Lakers team is at its best when Anthony Davis is the center. If he truly doesn't want to be a center, I mean, that's something the Lakers can address in the offseason. I feel like the perfect type of center for this team, for this starting lineup, would be the type I wanted all along, a Nerlens Noel type. You don't need a center who's going to have to score the way Andre Drummond sort of seemingly needs to. And you don't necessarily need a center to be a rebounding machine the way Andre Drummond is. You can get plenty of rebounding out of Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Dennis Schroeder. But if you had like a Nerlens Noel, a very agile, very tall, shot-blocking center, that solves most of the Lakers' problems, I think. And one who can play a lot of minutes. Nerlens Noel is a center that can play a lot of minutes. You know, the Lakers had JaVale and Dwight Howard last year, but they weren't the type of centers that could play a lot of minutes. But a guy like Nerlens Noel, or even Damian Jones, like the Lakers had in their pocket. They had to get rid of him when Andre Drummond became available, and I get it. I do. You know, I was excited about the Andre Drummond signing too, and for the most part, I'm still kind of excited. I think I like the possibility of it, but for right now, maybe in this series against Phoenix, it's just not working. Not working the way it should, and so adjustments need to be made. And I feel like they'll make those adjustments. Anthony Davis, if he truly feels like the loss was his fault tonight, then it's upon him to realize that, yeah, maybe he needs to play center. Yeah. This podcast isn't going to convince him of that. And, you know, really his teammates and his coaches are the only ones who can. And hopefully the game tape does kind of bear that out. But, yeah. So, among the things that I'm looking for next game, yeah, Anthony Davis to play better. LeBron James to play a little bit better. I don't feel as if there's going to be an opportunity for Andre Drummond to play better or worse. I feel like his minutes are going to be cut. He only played 19 minutes tonight. I bet he plays 15 minutes the next game. And Montrez's minutes might increase a little bit. We'll definitely see some points out of Kyle Kuzma. Whether or not it'll be a lot of points, that remains to be seen. I think any points that you can get out of Wesley Matthews or KCP is just icing on the cake. And so I'm not going to rely on a lot of minutes out of those two. Same with Talen Horton-Tucker. If he's going to play any kind of minutes at all, you know, 7 minutes, he scored 2 points, made a bucket. If he can play 10 minutes and make 3 buckets and get a couple of assists while he's out there, steal or two, yeah, that's really all we need out of Talen Horton-Tucker. On the Phoenix side, what's likely not to happen again? So Devin Booker went for 34, played 45 minutes. shot 13 for 26. Well, probably not going to play 45 minutes next time. He's probably not going to score 34, even though 34 isn't an astronomically high number. It's a number that he is capable of hitting. Chris Paul will probably play better. He didn't play very well once he came back from that shoulder injury, and we don't know how much it's going to really impact him. But he's probably going to play better than 7 points and 8 assists. We got to imagine he will. DeAndre Ayton, I don't think will play as good as he did this game. He shot 10 for 11. That's not going to happen next game. Grabbed 16 rebounds. Probably not going to happen next game. So while a game one loss is kind of bleak, while a game one loss opens up the clowns on Twitter to really dump on this team, it's certainly not something that this team hasn't seen before. And so, you know, I like the Lakers' chances in game two. I feel like the adjustments they'll make will put them in a better position to succeed. As for the rest of the West, it was a pretty interesting turnout. Every underdog, except the Lakers, of course, every underdog won their game one. Dallas, Memphis, Portland. All beat the teams that they were playing against. So the Clippers, the Nuggets, and the Jazz all lost tonight. Or rather, this weekend. And so, you know, looking beyond the series, which you can't do, but, you know, Lakers fans are going to do what they're going to do. And so looking beyond the Phoenix Suns, assuming the Lakers can get that far, yeah, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Jazz, they're showing kinks in the armor. And it just proves to show that the West is up for grabs, you know. Any team, any of the eight teams, really, it seems like, can come out of the West given what transpired this weekend. And so, you know, worry not, Lakers fans. Game one loss, not the end of the world. Like I said, something they've been through before, something we as fans have experienced before. You'd love to go 16-0, but there's never been an NBA champion that has gone 16-0, and so the chances are still good. Not the end of the world. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here. With that, we're going to close out this solo edition of the Hoopball Lakers podcast. Once again, I'm your host, JC DeLeon. You can find me on Twitter at JCDeLeon1. You can also find me on Instagram there. You can follow Ethan on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff. Noroff with one F. Follow the Hoopball Lakers show on Twitter at Hoopball Lakers. Follow all of the Hoopball Laker or all of the Hoopball accounts. Just go to Twitter, search Hoopball, and you'll see a bunch of accounts come up. Follow them all. You'll have a great time. Sign up for the Wager Pass. NBA playoff betting is hot and heavy, and you definitely want a piece of that. Be sure to do that over at mybookie.ag. And until next time, we are out.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.